Welcome, adventurer, to the Level Up Board Game Podcast, a show for board gamers by board gamers. Join the heroes as they venture into the world of meeples, cards, and miniatures with one goal in mind, to level up. You're listening to the Level Up Board Game Podcast.
Hey, welcome, adventurers, to episode 127 of the Level Up Board Game Podcast, a special side quest all about Cyber Pet Quest. This is just Patrick.
King Scott here.
Navigator Lena.
And Lena, you're kind of getting to see how the sausage is made lately. It's this has to be kind of a little peek behind the curtain.
It's been very exciting. I like seeing how it comes together, sizzling in the pan, and then it comes into this beautiful dish at the end, and the beautiful thing that the awesome show that we get to listen to at the end of it. I've very much been enjoying it.
King, what you been up to?
I'm back to doing my training, and it's rather interesting whenever you go back to some place that you've been before, and the people have gone through the training, they've gone on to be supervisors, and they walk in the room and they say, I remember you. You stabbed me 2 years ago. And it kind of feels good, but then again, it's kind of, if taken out of context, it's kind of frightening. But hey, it's all good. We're helping people that do amazing jobs out there.
That's a good way to be remembered. Hey, you stabbed me a couple years ago.
Yeah. Hey.
It's pretty, how many memorable people can say that really about you? Exactly.
Scott, did you get a chance to listen to last week's episode where Lena joined me for the 8-bit breakdown we did Last Light? And it was just Lena and I. You were busy all week. What did you think? This is one you got to be itching to play, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. I mean, whenever it was coming out, you could not get on Facebook not see an ad for it. Hearing all the people going on about this game, how you can do a 4X game in an hour. Yes, I was upset. I was not able to join you guys and play this. So if we get a chance at some point in time in the near future, I want to get my gameplay in as well.
The plan is Knoxville. I already cracked open that infinity box. So the expansion, it gives you a few more planets, but the expansion takes it all the way up to 8 player if you so choose.
Oh.
Josh and Jason are like, yeah, we want to play it. I was like, well, we're going to get to at least 5. And I feel like if we just stand up in the convention, we're like, got space for 3, we can get it up to 8 players. That's going to be a blast.
I'm sure you can. Yeah. I'm sure you'll be able to do that just fine. But that's not what we're here for. Patrick, can you give us the walkthrough on Cyber Pet Quest?
On it! Designed by Brendan Kendrick and Bernie Lynn and live on Kickstarter, Dead Alive Games presents Cyber Pet Quest! Embark on a thrilling small box adventure with Jane, a fully bionic cat, and her cybernetically enhanced animal friends as they set out to find Jane's missing owner, Howard, in the intra-apocalyptic city of San Lazaro. Alright, adventurers, let's talk about what's going on in this one. To start, you're going to take the lid off the box, and hey, it's magnetic, and ooh, it doubles as the board that houses the bad guy cards. Start a new campaign, or continue where you left off. This means selecting the location card for your current scenario. Think like tarot-sized card with a handful of spaces. The intro scenario, for example, takes place in Jane's house, and it's got 4 rooms, as well as a front and back yard that the critters are trying to reach. Each player gets a player board, which shows their health, energy, and luck meters, as well as what they can do with their allotment of energy each turn. Some are better at moving quickly, while another might be a heavy hitter. Point is, they're asymmetric in their powers. Now, the scenario is going to have some narrative, and it's going to give players an objective. On your turn, you've got several options, including moving and attacking, of course, but also inspecting a room or perhaps something more specialized to your character. The player turns, by the way, are in an order dictated by a deck of cards, so it's randomized each round and you don't necessarily know which player is going to be up next. One of the bad guys, or Sims, is going to go after a player turn, and which one's going to act next is determined in the same way. So very understandable to this point, but the game does get spiced up in several ways. First of all, the unique player characters can become further differentiated through things they might acquire in a scenario, like items and charms. Plus, some rooms in a scenario can be interacted with, providing additional narrative and sometimes a triggered ability. Finally, over the course of the campaign, you'll have the opportunity to level up your character, enabling more efficient actions. Complete the objective of your scenario, and you win the game, moving on to the next. But if a pet gets knocked out, the players lose. Now, at this point, we've been very impressed with Dead Alive Games, starting with the massive minis game Omicron Protocol, then stepping into the Euro territory with Lunar Rush. Going small box, how does Cyber Pet Quest stack up? Well, let's get back to Scott and Lena. Let's break this down a little further. All right, gang, so we're talking first impressions today. Adventures, this is one that we had the opportunity to play on TTS, Tabletop Simulator, for the lay folk out there. Which, by the way, we should point out, if you don't have Tabletop Simulator, it's a one-time upfront cost. You download it on Steam, and then you can get mods for all kinds of games that are currently existing or games that are, you know, in the works. Things like Cyberpunk Quest, where it's not released yet, but sometimes the publisher or the designers make the mod available. Oftentimes, you join their Discord, and you have an opportunity to get it there and find players there, so you can test games before they're actually available, which is what we did with Bernie and Brennan. So we're going to do this kind of like a mini 8-bit breakdown, because we've only played a little bit. We've only dabbled. So why don't we start here? Some of the art and components. Now, components, yes, there's meeples. We understand there's a magnetic box, but we didn't get to feel that with our finger pads. What we did get to feel is the artwork. We felt it with our eyeballs. So tell me, guys, what did you think? How did your eyeballs feel when gazing on the artwork that we find in this one?
Well, my eyeballs felt fine. I'm not sure what hallucinogenics you're on right now there, Patrick, but no, I like it that it's still part of the Omicron Protocol universe, but it's a lot friendlier. It's not as deadly and we are going to rip your throat out. It's more, I'm a cybernetic cat. I'm going to come up and purr next to you while I'm planning how I'm going to get out of this house away from these nasty Sims. So I really like the light structure of the game, the light artwork. It makes it more fun. This is Secret Lives of Pets, the War Zone.
I thought it was really great. It was really light. It was very playful. It is definitely something that I can play with kids. I can play with the kids in my house. And like you said, the artwork was adorable. Did you look at noticing how close on some of the little animals, when you really looked up close to them, they look like, oh, a simple little cat. Oh, a simple little goose. And then you see, oh, look, that's actually like a mechanical arm that's going on there. And so the artwork, I'm really excited to see how it comes along. But yeah, it's going to be really great to bring it to the table with young
Scott,
audience.
You played as the goose, right?
Oh yeah, I was definitely the goose, because we didn't have the cybernetic elephant, and people know my love for the cybernetic elephant.
Yeah, but now you've been a tanky goose.
Goose was very tanky.
Yeah, sure.
I got to be a mischievous little stealthy cat. It was fantastic.
Thematically, we're tying into the Omicron Protocol universe. Now, let's point out, Adventures, this is not a game that you need to know about either Omicron Protocol nor Cyberpunk Quest to appreciate one or the other. Nor do they segue, nor are they compatible. These are two very separate games. It's just this so happens to use a character that was in one of the factions in Omicron Protocol. This is its own standalone game, and you need to know nothing about San Lazaro, The Sims, the universe of Omicron to appreciate this one. Thematically, we're playing as the critters. So in Omicron Protocol, the bad skirmish game, right? This is in San Lazaro, California, where there's been this cybernetic takeover. Skynet happened, right? Like in Terminator. Yep. And people are trying to fight the now seemingly zombified robotic people. Now, what are the pets doing? That's what this is. This is taking this playful, like, okay, wait a minute. How would my cat behave if I suddenly, you know, if I got taken out by a Sim and now the cat's got Sims knocking on the front door, wants to get at him? What's the cat doing? What's of course, you got to make buddies with that goose, the tanky goose, King Scott. And then you need a dog.
Don't forget the trash panda.
Exactly. That's the kind of theme that we have going on here. What'd you think about its implementation, Lena?
As you know, I was very new. I had not played Omicron Protocol, and I was able to jump in just fine. And I understood the story of what was going on, and it was a lot of fun. It was really cool to see the perspective of these cats, like, oh, or this cat that I was playing, and what might they do? What might they do if your owners are just suddenly gone? And they, not to give any spoilers, but they really nailed it on the story of giving you the perspective of the pet. Where did my owner go? What happened to them? I guess I should find them. And they implemented it very well to get you in that mindset and immersed into the story of it.
The thing that really stuck out with me was we played the introduction whenever we played it on TTS. We had to get out the front door or out the back door. Whenever you're getting there, it opens up a whole other chapter of the story. It's never going to be the same game twice or anything, depending on, hey, let's play a game where we went out the front door before. Let's go out the back door. And it just builds on the story of these animals, of the pets, and where they're going to go next. It really a creative way that they made the game. The other thing also is that it's not just, here's the room, you need to get out. They actually wrote out a whole story as to what is going on. You read this before it starts, so you get the idea of what's going on. You mentally see the light coming through the windows, but wait, something happens. And then it's another narrated point where they're going to talk even more and build that story. So it's not just, here's your game, play it. No, they really built this narrative. Really very cool.
It gets you invested in the character. You know, when yes. The story tells you, oh, you know, and what happened to the people, and you hear of these cybernetic, these sims that are coming, and oh, there's a pounding at the door and at the back door. What do? And then you lay out the board and it's like four rooms and out go those bad guy tokens. And suddenly it's like, oh, they're going to get me. Like, I care. Suddenly it's like, oh, I got to stay away from that because the story just told me they're so dangerous. And then when you finish it and, oh, okay, you know, we got away from them this time. It's like, oh, man, what's in store next? It was a good incorporation of story. You know what else did a good thing for the immersion while you're playing the game is they have those trigger tokens whereby, like, the one room had a pantry and there's some pots mm-hmm. and pans hanging up. And it's like, by the way, and they put a card above it and that, like, if you go over here, you might be able to knock those things off the shelf. And it's like, oh, I want to do it. Oh, to see what happens. And you know what happens. The animal gets up there and, you know, pulls the string and the pots and pans come flying down and knock out a sim for a turn. That's cool. Whenever the game incorporates an element that thematically works with what you're trying to do. Interestingly enough, we didn't, in this introductory scenario anyway, we didn't like kill the sims. Our goal was get the heck out of there. Because we had mm-hmm. Punk Girl on our tail.
Punk Girl!
I love the pots and pans thing. Modified Marty McFly.
Yes.
There was. That's right. I love the pots and pans thing and like the bookshelf. I think there was something with like a bookshelf that you can yes. knock mm-hmm. things around and all of that. And it reminded me, you probably haven't played it, but there's a game, if any of the adventurers are listening, a game called Stray, and it was on PC and PlayStation and all that stuff. And you take on the role of a cat in this apocalyptic world. And it's sort of this similar idea where it's very funny and you get to be the cat and you jump on and you knock things off and you get to, you know, knock pots off. And it totally reminded me of that in a board game version. And it was fantastic. But that's because I was playing the cat. So that's what I thought of. I was playing Jane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is Stray kid friendly?
Yes.
My daughter. Young son. Wait, is it scary? It's post-apocalyptic. Like, does it have jump scares or anything?
No jump scares.
Oh, my kid would play the heck out of this. Yes.
It would be, it's a lot of fun. It's really, it's a little dark, but it's a neat dark. It's not a scary dark. So it's really neat.
This isn't a very complex game, is it?
It's really not all that complex. I found it lightweight enough that as we were playing through it, I thought this definitely was easy to learn, easy to pick up. I could see myself bringing it to the table and teaching anybody who's not a real big hardcore gamer and introducing it to them. The artwork was inviting to a not so heavy audience, to a younger audience, to a more family-friendly audience. And then there was still enough of that intrigue with all those decisions that you had to make to still engage people like us who are the hobby gamers.
You're still playing a game. The game's not playing you. It's not playing exactly. itself. You still mm-hmm. have to make decisions throughout your play. Yes, absolutely.
We had to decide, do we want to be sneaky? Do we not want to be sneaky? Do we want to try to go after that sim? Or do I want to try to go back here and help my pet friend back here? There was a lot of decisions to be made still.
I really liked it was a difficult decision to figure out, am I going to be sneaky this turn? If I'm going to be sneaky, I can't do this, this, or this. But if I'm not sneaky, I have to deal with this instead. So you definitely had a lot of decisions that were going into the game against you. You had to decide what was going to be the most prudent action for you to take at that time.
Well, we're starting to tap a little bit into what is normally the meat of the game. Now, we're not doing the full official 8-bits, but this game has some meat. Now, it is a lighter game. We're not going to tap into downsides, but if I had to identify one, I would say, you know, if you're expecting the next Gloomhaven or the next, name some big campaign game, this isn't that. Right, this is compact, it's simpler, but it still has some meat on the bones, plenty of it. And I think we see it because you have the variability of what bad guys are going to be in a scenario. You've got the variability of who you're playing, what items you might find, and then how are you going to pursue the scenario?
Yeah.
I think there's a respectable amount of meat, considering that this is a small table space and a small game. They got a lot going on in here.
Whenever we were playing it, I even brought up the word TARDIS thing about it, where it's a lot bigger inside that box. There is a ton of content that they have in there to really expand on the gameplay, which is really impressive.
Yeah, when we first got onto TTS and I looked at it and thought, that little space, and I thought, that's it? Okay, this is going to be interesting. And there was a lot. I thought, maybe I need to zoom. Maybe I'm zoomed out too much. And I looked and I thought, no, this really is compact. They're not joking when they say it's compact, but they packed a lot into it. I was
maybe that's another
thoroughly
downside.
Impressed.
It's the most unsatisfying table flip you'll ever have in your board gaming career. Oh, wait a minute. What is this? What is this? Not, no, not Will.
No.
Oh, oh, come on.
Why? Why?
Go.
Why
doors
is this
that way.
The bane of my existence?
Oh, well, you know, I hate to interrupt, but I'm a real big fan of the Cyber Pet Quests, because those little critters sure do make lots of dung that they just leave everywhere for me to pick on up. Yeah.
Now, if this has brought anything to light, we definitely need to work on the licensing and the contract that we offer to people to come on the show. But that aside, I want to know, did we have fun? What was one big thing that stood out in your mind that made this stand out and makes you want to go like, I can't wait till the Kickstarter comes out? Patrick, what do you think?
For me, it's all about those action tokens. I love the fact that the world that you're interacting in isn't – it's not going to be cut and dry with all the variables shown at the very start. There's going to be little things in the environment that you can interact with, and you don't necessarily know how they're going to operate. You don't know what's going to happen. You can deduce it. Like we said, pots and pans are hanging up. I know what I'm going to do when a sim walks in this room. I'm going to have them fall down and crash on them, right? That's cool. That's not going to be in the next scenario. I like that. I like the fact that they found a way to take – basically, the board was like the size of a tarot card with some meeples on it, and then a couple little action triggers, and suddenly it came to life. And to me, that's what made this stand out for a small footprint campaign game. That's one that I'm interested in. Lena?
You almost took the words right out of my mouth. I mean, we got to play the introduction, and I am hooked because I need to see what happens. When we got out that door, I got to find out the next part of the story. The story was told so well, they wrote it phenomenally well, that it really captured my imagination. And just because it was small, they packed a lot of detail in there to really get your imagination just flying with this and visualizing everything. So I am very excited to get on there to back the Kickstarter.
King?
Well, I think the thing that gets me is it's in the title, Cyber Pet. You can upgrade your pets. That is really neat with the charms and different things you can do to add on to your pets to make them more efficient. You get an idea of what the scenario is going to be, and then you figure, okay, what do I need to look for? You have an idea what's going to be coming out, and you want to make sure that you have the best chance of completing that scenario. So, hey, let's go to the upgrade store and just make your pet even better. So the upgrades for the cyber pets is something I'm really looking forward to.
Well, this being a preview side quest, that can only mean one thing. We have the designers, Bernie and Brendan. It's the first time we've had folks come back to the show. We keep asking other people, and they're like, I am not coming back.
I know.
There.
I was starting to worry.
You know what the difference is now? It's because Navigator Lena is here. So I blessed you all with my presence. And they were like, now we got
to. Everything's got to be about Will. Everything's got to be about Lena.
You're welcome.
We'll be right back. Okay, adventurers, it's been since way back in episode 23 when we had the chance to do a little side quest about Beyond the Rift, the narrative adventure card game in the Perdition's Mouth setting. And as I said it then, and I'll say it now again, it is remarkably well done. A good challenge to test the brain while also giving a thematic experience on the table. Well, get this. Dragon Dawn Productions is going to go one step further for listeners of Level Up.
Ooh.
yes, Kate.
This sounds like a giveaway.
Yes, sir. So we always do. Let's keep it simple.
Just be in our BGG guild.
Yeah, if you want to stick with that, that's what we did for the last few, so let's do it. Be in the BGG guild. Well, you know what? Let's make it a little more fun than that. I'm going to make a forum post in our guild, Guild 3722 on Board Game Geek. Now, this being an adventure card game, oftentimes we find ourselves leveling up and gaining skills to defeat a big bad of some sort. So I'm going to put up a post in the forums, and I'm going to ask you, adventurers, what is your favorite movie big bad guy? Who's your favorite villain? What do you think, Scott? Who's yours? Favorite movie villain?
Does the tornado from Twister count?
No, that does not count. It's got to be
okay, Darth Vader.
Okay, there you go. So get on over to the BGG Guild. You can find a link for it in the show notes. Just tell us who your favorite movie bad guy is. That's it. And you're entered to win. That's it.
U.S. only?
No. This is one of those rare cases of anywhere in the world because Dragon Dawn and Ren, the Ren Miltomaki in charge over there, is so generous to us. He's offering to ship anywhere in the world.
Wow. Hey, that is awesome. Hats off to Ren and the team at Dragon Dawn. What an excellent company, and seriously, what incredible games. Adventurers, do check them out at ddpgames.com. Yeah! We have Bernie and Brendan from Dead Alive Games with us once again,
yes,
talking about their new game hitting Kickstarters here on April 16th, is it correct?
Yep.
Yes, that's going to be Cyber Pet Quest. But before we get into the nooks and crannies of that, let's throw out some here. So we start off with Omicron Protocol. Okay, the big mini skirmish campaign game that you can play several different ways and get hours, beyond hours, of fresh gameplay.
Different teams to play as, different scenarios, you're grinding it out. The different items every time you play.
This game, Cyber Pet Quest, is more of a compact, small box campaign. A bit of a 180-degree change from its predecessor. Where did this idea actually come from for Cyber Pet Quest? Or is it the cool way to say CPQ?
Yeah, where did this come from?
CPQ, definitely the internal title. We are lazy typers, at least I am. So the idea, well, we also did Lunar Rush in the middle there. So it was someone else's design.
Never heard of it.
And so Cyber Pet Quest. So there's a trend here, which is from big to medium to small. Mm-hmm. And I've actually just been thinking about this a lot because originally it was an idea that came to us that was like a dice battler tin box game, like,
oh wow, okay,
super small. And we did play test some early versions that were kind of like Japanese video game from the 90s style, like front row, back row, and you could kind of like do your attacks at each other, but you could never occupy the same space. Very, very different game than what we ended up with. But I do think that small was the big constraint. Small was a very deliberate and very important design decision from the word go.
So I'm guessing you guys you had to eat your lunch on the shipping for Omicron Protocol and Lunar Rush. You're like, never again.
Oh, God.
Why? So if you're coming into it.
Like shipping crisis timing. So yes, contributing.
I'm no designer, right? But if I have this idea for a game, my first thought isn't how compact or the size of the game. It feels more like either I'm creating this thing and, you know, I have this big sculpture and I'm chipping away to make it the right size, or I'm building, you know, that whole sculpting versus building, or I have the clay and I'm going ground up. And at that point, I would also think, well, there's not really a restraint, but you put this one on Cyber Pet Quest. Are you crazy?
Yes, a little.
I mean, this one was more of a sculpt, throw it away, sculpt, throw it away. Uh-huh. But yeah,
raise a plant and it kept dying. Like, nope.
Yeah. That idea didn't work. Yeah. I mean, I would say the constraint actually helped. It made us a lot more creative to try to figure out what is the most important part of the game that's fun. Mm-hmm. And we definitely tested this one just a lot. And we've kept, like Brendan said, we kept throwing things away. And if it's not fun, we threw it away. If it's not fun, if it's threw away. And if we found something fun, we like kept it. And then obviously you have to take all those fun things and put it together into a game. And well, I'm glad we kind of got to that part now.
So Scott and Patrick have told me all about Omicron Protocol, and it's something that I have not gotten to my table yet, and it is definitely on my list of one that I would like to try. But I heard that the idea of Cyber Pet Quest stems off from Omicron Protocol. So how did that happen? Where did that come from?
It was another, like, it was another one of our early constraints, I guess, which was like, we wanted to make a small game again. And so the opportunity was like, we have this world, we have this lore that we've built, we have some cool mechanics that we want to like maybe iterate on a little bit and try new things with, you know, like our combat system and look. But with this theme of small, like the smallest character in our game, Omicron Protocol, so there's a faction called Animals, which goes all the way from like a huge elephant with like, you know, a massive face to a bear to a wolf, all the way down to our very smallest character, which is Jane the cat. Again, originally the idea was like, oh, we'll just make like a little solo game that's Jane's adventure, like Jane's eye view of the world, you know.
That,
like,
that was actually the original title.
Yeah, Adventures
Jane's of Jane. Adventures, yeah. Of Jane.
Yeah.
And it would have been cute.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, we had a dungeon crawl game, like a full-sized one, going in this world of Omicron Protocol from the very beginning of like designing Omicron Protocol. So we wanted to get that out, but of course, I mean, as everyone knows, the big dungeon crawl game takes a long time to make. So this is kind of like spiritually the little brother or little sister of that game, just kind of smaller version, also in the same world. And one of the cool things that kind of evolved from it was really when we were designing it, just thinking about this perspective of this Omicron Protocol world, which we call intra-apocalyptic, like what would the pets see it as? And that was a really fun part, coming up with the story and how they would react and how they would deal with what us humans think are very normal things.
I loved that. When we got to play it, I thought that carried through so well. And I was just fascinated at some of the little details of thinking, oh my gosh, I really do feel like I am playing a cat right now from the cat's perspective. And I loved it.
Thank you.
It is remarkable. The characters do feel very different. I had the trash panda, so naturally I was better at scooping things up, right? And the dog was naturally the heavy hitter. The cat was sneaking around. That was well done.
Thank you.
No, one of the things I really liked with this is, yes, it's I think someone brought it up during our playthrough, was Secret Life of Pets, The War Zone. But this was really cool because it was in the same universe, but you don't have to know everything that's going on in Omicron Protocol to get into this game. Now, was that a stepping stone for people to get into this, go into Omicron Protocol, or people from Omicron Protocol introducing that to their friends? How did you look about making this game then?
I would say a little bit of both. We wanted a game that can bring as many people as possible into kind of the dungeon crawler campaign, co-op campaign genre. And as you probably know from Omicron Protocol, the reason we made that game was to bring more non-miniatures gamers into miniatures gaming. So that's mm-hmm. always been kind of like the philosophy of Dead Alive Games, was just to bring more people and include more people into gaming. So one of the things here was we wanted to people to kind of learn about the Omicron Protocol world without having to learn a much more complex set of rules. Whereas mm-hmm. it's also fun for people who know Omicron Protocol. Now they've been asking, hey, when's the expansion? When's like the next story coming out? Well, now you kind of get to see it through the lens of a completely different set of people. I mean, there are stories about the animals in Omicron Protocol, but we really went all in on kind of like these little pets and how they see it.
It even feels stylized in a different fashion, in that like the art has rounded corners and it's bubbly. Like it's more playful and it feels like its own separate entity of a game.
Yeah, yeah, to be clear, this is like, this is kid friendly, right? This is not a Festo, right? There's pretty dark stories there. This is definitely not a dark game. It is a very fun game, and it's meant to be hopeful and fun, and you embody this sort of the rescue mission of the pets. You know, it's meant to be heroic and hopeful for sure.
It's funny that Brendan brought that up, because at one point we did some play tests, and we always read the intro story like we did when we played with mm-hmm. you guys. Someone was like, "This game's really dark. Are you sure it's for kids?" And we're like, "Really?" And we went back and read it, because we took some of it from the intro and the bio from Omicron Protocol. We're like, "Oh my god, this is really dark." And we had to go in and kind of change a few things to make it a little more happy and hopeful.
I really enjoyed that, because, as I said, I was somebody who had come into this and was invited to come in and play it. And honestly, I just heard the name Cyber Pet Quest, and I was like, I don't even know what it's about, but count me in, and I want to try it. And when Patrick said he was about to play test it, I'm like, I want in on that. And so I got to jump in. And I know the idea and I know the story of Omicron Protocol, but I never got a chance to play it. And I was able to jump right in and have zero issues following the story, and gave me an idea and gave me an incentive to go, now I really want to go back and try Omicron Protocol. But I could definitely see it as, you're trying to introduce it to somebody who's never played it, it's not an issue at all. Mm-hmm. So well done on that.
Good to hear. Thank you.
All right, brass tacks, enough with the small talk. Let's talk about what we didn't see in our play. Now, we very much, we got the first impression. We got to play through a scenario, tinker around with the mechanisms of the game. But I understand that this is a branching campaign. What I mean by branching is you're not always going to be on the same six spokes of one ladder. It's going to go in different directions depending on what you do. Our first scenario that we did, we could go out the front door or we could go out the back door. And that decision is going to determine what our next step is. So give me like the synopsis of the campaign. How's that going to work? If I'm setting this up on the table, what am I looking at getting myself into?
Well, if you're up for a long weekend, right, you're looking at a weekend. You're okay. Looking at sitting down with some friends, learning the game, and then having a casual gaming weekend. You could probably easily complete the campaign in that time.
There are six chapters plus tutorial.
Right. In the playthrough. Right.
Yeah.
And that includes a total of four distinct branches.
Okay.
Right? But there are two main branches, and then those branch further out. So in theory, you could. Wow.
How did you make balloons go above your face? What did you click? And how do we replicate it?
I think it's an iPhone thing, isn't it? Or is it a...
Wait, are you doing this on your iPhone?
No.
I thought it was an iPhone thing.
That's amazing.
Very weird.
Anyway. You just leveled up.
I know.
Cool.
I do that.
Build the full. Yeah, what did I do? Oh my god. Okay, anyway.
Guys, wait, no, we gotta stop. We might be done if we can't figure out how to make balloons and shit go across our screens.
Brendan knows magic.
There are four separate branches on the campaign tree, you were all saying.
Right. So pets level up. There is a leveling up system.
I see what you did there.
Very, very mild. Yeah. Ding. But there are different abilities that you can choose. So you can try out different pets. You can try out different ways to put them into a different kind of skill set, right? And then also the different stories. So you can get a lot of play out of it just by kind of rotating which pet you choose or trying a different branch of their ability.
Yeah, one of the things, I mean, it's a small box and there's only so much we could fit in it. And so we can't promise that this is like, you know, five different endings and 30 different choices and all that.
It's not meant to be that. That's not the market that you're tapping into. You're going
And of course, people will always ask, hey, what's the replayability and all that? So our goal was, we tried as many different mechanics, whether it's leveling up, like Brendan said, or items that you get, or the charms that you use. These are extra abilities that your pets can use, or even just how you level up your pet. We try to combine all of those so that every time you play, if you just randomly choose or you choose the other one, even though you might know the same story, the actual play and mechanic and the tactics that you use will be different just because of all those combinations. And that mm-hmm. was kind of our way of keeping the game small without ballooning into another Gloomhaven or something.
Not to mention the random draw of different enemies. So the Sims, those are the enemies, they have different skills. It's prescribed in that first, in the chapter that we played together. But from that point on, it could be completely different, which in turn, you know, interacts completely differently with the objectives, with the mission of the chapter that you're in, etc. So even playing the same mission back to back with the same pets and the same abilities could actually be quite different based on just how different those enemies are going to act.
Sure. Anytime that you give different variables, you know, and so many of them in this capacity, it's going to give you a different feel, regardless of which character you're playing in. And even if you have the same things, just something as simple as the enemies being different is going to change how you approach the game. I like that.
Yeah, I was impressed to see how different each enemy was. Like, you look at one and you think, oh, it's not just them hitting me. They all have very unique abilities that they do that you really have to think through. Who's still up left that we might have to fight? Oh, that's the one. Okay, be prepared.
Oh, it's Punk Girl. It's Punk Girl.
Yeah, it's Punk Girl.
Everyone's favorite.
Punk Girl!
we're super glad to hear that, because if you saw like an earlier version, we kind of went, as Brendan said, like the Dice Battler, super simple Timbok. Then we kind of went way past what you saw. It was way more complex of a game. Every enemy not just had that one like ability they had like their own, like if they miss you X number of times, they'll have rage, and their rage ability is also different. And then when they level up with a different ability, and it was just like it ballooned out of control, and we kind of had to really bring it down to like, yeah, what makes them different? And I'm so glad to hear that even though it's just one ability difference, it feels very different.
Yeah.
All right, we got all the ins and outs of everything that went into this box, but the important thing is you have the Kickstarter coming out on April 16th.
Ah, okay. You're mad? Oh!
Is that a thing on here?
I think it must be it's a Mac. I haven't had a Mac in
years. Oh, yes, it is a Mac thing. Yeah, that's a Mac thing. My iPhone will do that. When I'm on my iPhone and my iPad, it'll do that. It'll do
Give us the finger.
I thought this was the...
You used to have a thumbs up thing. Oh, there it is. Yep.
What kind of wizardry is this?
I'm not going to talk anymore. I'm just going to
learn. You're a wizard.
All right, enough playing with the damn computers, guys. Everyone wants to know what's going to be happening. This is good radio. Let me tell you what. April 16th is the day that we have to keep in mind here, and that is the day you're going to be launching the Kickstarter. And I'm not going to look at the damn screen because
I'm trying not to laugh.
Brian, you just messed with everything. Okay, let's go again. All right.
I need a reset.
We're going to just move Brendan right off my screen there. All right. The Kickstarter is coming out April 16th. What is it that we are going to get whenever we go to the Kickstarter page, we click on, we want to back it. What is going to be in the box? What can we get in our Kickstarter pledge?
All right. First thing, you can get the game for as low as normally $30, and we're just going to let the Kickstarter backers get it for a discount as we always do. So $24, you get the full game. Everything about it, the whole box, even the double magnetic lid that turns into board. Of course, being gamers ourselves, we want everything to be primo, so we have a deluxe version where we just try to upgrade everything that we can within reason.
You had a real raccoon in that box.
Yep. So there's a deluxe edition that normally goes for $45, which will be going for $39. And then if you know our Kickstarters and you've seen Omicron Protocol and Lunar Rush, we go crazy with the add-ons and all-in pledges. So we always have two different ones. One is kind of the essential all-ins, just getting the add-ons that I think most people will like.
Gameplay kind of stuff.
Yeah, the more like things that you'll actually use in the game, upgrading some of the tokens and things like that. And then you have the crazy one. Like, I think Omicron Protocol, we had fiberglass with 24 karat gold tokens. And Lunar Rush, we had gemstone tokens and actually medals. So this one, because it's a smaller game, we didn't go as crazy. Yeah, but we'll still have some fun things in there for people to do, including a very, very cool 100mm model of the four pets. Think of the cover as 3D version of that. So there's a lot of options. Oh, actually, I should probably mention there'll be two pledges that are limited. This is the first time we've ever done this. Because it's pet related and we have some good friends who are artists, we have a few limited pledges where you could get your pet into the game.
Oh.
With some caveats. So,
caveats. Because, number one, Will Brown has already gotten his dog into the game.
So that's one spot.
Yeah, he's threatened to blacklist us if we don't get
Beatrice is already in there. Yep.
Of course, the story is based on like these four pets' names, so we can't change too much, but we will definitely make special cards for you if you are pledging that level with like custom art made with your pet, like just give us a photograph and all that. And then another friend of mine does this really cool thing. You'll see it when the Kickstarter page comes up, but it's a foil art. She pretty much traces your pet with kind of line drawing, and then somehow heat transfers this foil paper on it, and she just rips it off, and it's this like think magic foil legendary card of your art, of your pet.
Wow.
Yeah, so those are two, like, the ultra-premium stuff that we're just going to have a few limited ones out there.
That is awesome.
And you get to pick a cybernetic part for your pet.
Yeah.
Does that get sent to our home and we can just add it on to them, you know?
In the art, sorry. Yeah.
Well, this would have been really cool a couple decades ago. That's a bummer, because when I was a teenager, I had a three-legged dog, and that would have been really cool to, like, get that added on to there. Not even joking.
No, we'll help you visualize it.
All right, boys, you know the deal. We're going to give you the chance to plug where they can learn more and whatnot, but you came on Level Up, and you know what that means. You get a chance to advance to the next level. Now, you guys are officially on Level 2 because you've done this before. So this is your chance to get to Level 3. We're going to run today's as a little bit of a co-op. Rather than doing one for each of you, you're both working together to answer the questions. King, you got the timer?
I'm all set.
You say when, sir.
On your mark, get set, go.
Which of the two of you is better at Omicron Protocol?
I am.
Point blank, which game is better, Omicron Protocol or Lunar Rush?
Omicron Protocol.
Omicron Protocol is so good.
Could you share with the listeners the Chinese tongue twister that repeats the word shore?
Or did you want the ma-ma-ma-ma?
Oh, that one's good, too. Very nice. Could you now tell, number four, could you now tell us what that means?
44 dead stone lions.
Number five, which is better, Escape from New York or Big Trouble in Little China?
Ooh. Escape from New York.
I'll take that.
Number six, the first version of Mortal Kombat featured two ninjas, one donning yellow, the other donning blue. What were their names?
Scorpion and Sub-Zero.
Groups of birds often have funny names. What do you call a group of flamingos?
I've heard this one before.
My three-year-old daughter would be so
Your
mad.
Hint is, hey.
Time's a ticking.
Oh, girl.
On a scale of 1 to 10, where would you rank content creator YouTube channel Hungry Game Reviews?
Do I have to answer that?
No, negative numbers.
Imaginary numbers.
And we're going to call it.
Hey, I think we're on the level three.
Oh,
well done, boom. Guys. Well done. So the group of flamingos is a flamboyance.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, now they act like they knew.
Yeah. I knew it all along.
Smile and nod. Uh-huh, yeah.
I had to miss you.
It was Sub-Zero. Hey, guys, thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for teaching us the game. Thanks for being a big part of Level Up, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. I feel like we've sort of coincided in each of our existences, and we sincerely appreciate that. Tell the listeners. We know we're going to be checking Kickstarter on April 16th. If I wanted to get a couple sneak peeks or check out the art, some of the stuff that we've been talking about today, where can I go to do that?
You could definitely find us on all the social networks at Dead Alive Games, whether it's Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, or now
you guys have a TikTok.
We do have a TikTok.
Oh, God.
It's not good videos, though.
But also our website. Our website has a succinct sort of summary of CyberPet Quest and our other games. So check them out.
Cool. Thanks for being on Level Up, guys. We appreciate it. I'll see you maybe at Origins.
Not Origins, Gen Con.
Oh,
God. Oh my God.
Stop the scream.
Wow.
One of my favorite things about doing the podcast is getting to chat with the designers before a game comes out and sort of hear the process behind it. But I tell you what, it really is extra special with Bernie and Brennan, having known them for a few years now and played all of the games that Dead Alive has done and being a fan of all of them. It's kind of cool. It's I would say if we were all in a Facebook relationship, our status would officially say in a relationship.
It is very cool. I still remember that first PAX whenever we got a chance to meet them. We got to talk about Omicron Protocol. And yes, all kidding aside, Will, we thank you for introducing us, because it has been something that's been a great partnership in a way with us working with them and getting to see the games and help promote those games to make them even more popular. Really, it's been a fabulous run with them.
Did we all back Lunar? Like, I'm thinking, do we all need to back this? Because we all play every third. Like, we only need one copy. I know, Scott, you got Lunar Rush. I got Lunar. Anytime we show up somewhere, there's like four copies of Lunar Rush lingering around. I'm like, maybe we don't need to, support these guys that much, do we?
Oh, hey, definitely. We want to support them because we want them to bring out more games.
You know, for $24. I mean, the price is right. You can't beat it.
Oh,
talk value. Yes,
absolutely.
You know, on Futurama, when it's shut up and take my money, I mean, they said that, and I'm like, I just hand it over to you right now. I mean, you know, you've got it. It's already put aside.
Well, hey, this is just a side quest. It's not a main episode. So let's get out here. Dead Alive Games, Cyber Pet Quest, coming out to Kickstarter April 16th. Be sure to check that out. Back them. Follow Dead Alive Games and be sure to see what's coming up in the future from them. Three out of the park already. I can't wait to see what comes out more from them.
Hey, adventurers, get on back to last week. If you haven't yet, we talked Last Light was the feature review of the episode. A whole lot going on in that one, and a fantastic game that was. Tune in next week as you get our thoughts on Distilled. We're going to be joined by Hungry Gamer, Teacher Ryan, Lena. You're going to take us around the world in a globetrotting segment. It's going to be a big one. King, you want a last word?
Well, if you have a chance to be remembered for stabbing somebody metaphorically, go for it. Thank you, adventurers, for joining us for this episode of the Level Up Board Game Podcast. We encourage all adventurers to check out our website at levelupgamepodcast.com. That's where you can submit your thoughts and audio to be used in a future episode. Please consider rating us on iTunes, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and join the Board Game Geek Guild, Guild 3722. Music for the podcast provided by Adam Haynes and the Heatley Brothers. And remember, whether in hobby or in life, always do what you can to level up.